Angelo Cerbi, Fred Film Radio. We're in the Venice Film Festival at Venice Days, and here to talk with Grant G, Innocence of Memories, Omar Pamuk's museum in Istanbul. Good morning, Grant.
Good morning.
Can you tell us something more about this museum, which is a kind of a strange, in a good way, museum?
Yeah, where to start? So if you'd say it's a real museum, it's called the Museum of Innocence, and it's in what was a kind of rundown area of Istanbul called Çukurcuma, which is now a rapidly gentrifying part of Istanbul. So it is a real thing, which we're talking about here. But in 2008, I believe it was, Pamuk published a novel called The Museum of Innocence, which was about a doomed love affair. And in the wake of the death of the heroine, of the love object, the heartbroken lover started to collect every object which reminded him of his love and decided to set up a museum in memory of his affair. It's all very interesting. This novel was published, became very, very successful, and then I think it was 4 years later, Pamuk opened an actual museum of this fiction. And I thought this was tremendously interesting, in that because Pamuk's imagination is so wound up with people's vision, of people's image of Istanbul now, that to have actual bricks and mortar also created by the man in the city, as well as just imaginary images, I think it's unheard of, really.
Was Pamuk very involved in the project of the film?
Very involved, let me say. Yes, in the sense that getting his permission was to proceed was the first thing I had to do. Yes, in that he wrote the fictional narration, which comprises maybe one third of the film. Yes, in that his other work is quoted and used throughout the film. And yes, that he's in the film. He wasn't directly involved in editing or shooting, although, of course, as both courtesy and professional necessity, we had to show him the edits and talk to him about it as we were going on. So, yes, he's without him, there is no film at all. But it's a film by myself, really.
Can you tell us also something about the form that you gave to the movie, in terms that it's not a documentary, it's not a fictional film, it's not like a registration of places, like the mixture of all of this.
Yes.
Why did you choose to make the... why did you choose not to choose a specific way?
Well, you were right when you said at the beginning, it's kind of a trip. I mean, and I'm interested. I'm not... I use narrative in my films, but I'm always looking for kind of ways of structuring films that are not conventional narrative structures. So whether that's a musical structure or a trip structure or a simple chronological structure, you know, where narratives happen incidentally rather than from the top. So you're right when you said it's a trip. But within that, because what we're looking at is an artist's imagination of a city, which is now becoming a real thing in the city. Right from the start, the boundaries between what is imagination and what is actually... You know, Orhan had a vision of a novel, which was also a vision of an actual place, and that actual place became real. And then there's a fictional Istanbul in the book, but the real Istanbul is there. But I, for one, I know many other people see Istanbul through Orhan's eyes. You know, I think that's true for a lot of people around the world who've never been to Istanbul. You think of Istanbul and you think of the way Orhan Pamuk has described it, and you walk around the streets and somehow there's like the Pamuk filter behind your eye. So right from the start, the whole thing is the line between what is the fictional Istanbul and what is the real Istanbul. I wanted to blur that. And so we have the narrator of the film is a creation of Orhan Pamuk's. She's not a real person. She's a very minor character called Fusun, who was the heroine of the novels. One of her friends, she's mentioned, you know, she has maybe five lines in the novel. But for this film, she takes center stage and she narrates the story of her lost friend.
You did visit the museum, of course. You did.
Yes.
And how was your first impression you had?
The first impression I had of the museum was I'd seen photographs of it and I'd seen reports about it. But it's very beautiful. It sounds obvious, but it's very, very well crafted, very, to a high level. And it gives you the sense, it's very strange, that it's going to be there for a very long time. It doesn't feel like a temporary exhibition or something that's just been there to illustrate a novel. It feels like a museum which has had a lot of money put into it and which is going to last for centuries. And it's lit beautifully, and I know for a fact Orhan was as obsessive about things like the lighting of the boxes as he would be about the construction of one of his sentences. You know, he doesn't even like you to see the contents of the boxes without the proper lighting on them. And he worked with the architect, he oversaw every detail himself, so it's beautifully finished, beautifully lit, and it's enchanting, it sparkles. Yeah. So when you go in there, you feel already like you're in a sort of dreamy space. And that was my first impression. And then strangely, whenever I go back to Istanbul, you know, I loved the city, but then I'd step into the museum and it was kind of like being at home. Maybe because it's so dreamy and outside of time. It's just a kind of calm, I'm not religious at all, but you know, you go into church, you think, oh my God.
The movie has this line that struck me, that every object has a story to tell.
Yeah.
Inside of the museum, there is the cigarette wall, which was really fascinating to me. Can you tell us, our audience, something about the cigarette, story of the cigarette?
Of course. Okay, so the centerpiece, I mean, let's try and describe it. The museum is comprised of, I'm going to get this wrong, let's say about 80 display boxes, almost like Joseph Cornell boxes, little vitrines, maybe a meter across each, and each box corresponds to a chapter of the novel.
Okay.
So they have the same titles, and so the objects in it represent or are poetic invocations of each chapter of the book. And then chapter, I think it's 64, although I can't remember quite, is called 4,213 Cigarettes. And this is where the grief-stricken lover decides that he will create an artwork based on all of his dead lover's cigarette butts that he collected over the nights they spent together in her parents' house. And of course, as is only right, Orhan made an artwork containing 4,213 cigarette butts. And this goes back to the idea of how beautiful it is. Now that sounds, I know Sarah Lucas, the British artist, and Damien Hirst have both done artworks with cigarette butts, and they give you the kind of disgusting feel of cigarette butts, which is great. But this turns it into a grid of memory, and it's beautiful. It's a huge, huge glass vitrine with 4,213 cigarette butts, most of them lipstick stained with the shade of lipstick that Fusun wore, arranged in a grid. And then, even more remarkably, underneath each cigarette butt is handwritten what the grief-stricken lover remembers of the moment when that cigarette butt was stubbed out. So it could be the sound of a street vendor going by, what he was shouting in the street as she stubbed out. It was maybe what her father was saying about what's on the television. It's about her saying, you must wait. And so these little tiny quotes, which is like a movie in itself, it's like a huge montage. And it always reminds me of that Cole Porter song, These Foolish Things, a cigarette that bears a lipstick traces, these foolish things remind me of you. So it's all those kinds of, it's memory, it's story, it's sentiments out of a collection of cigarette butts, which is quite remarkable, really. And it's a huge thing, and it's a really amazing artwork.
Listen, Brent, how long did it take to make the movie?
It was pretty quick, actually. I mean, my producer Janine Marmot did an amazing job. I first wrote to Orhan saying I would like to make a film about your museum in like September 2 years ago. Is that right? We started shooting. It was shot last year in May.
Oh, so it was pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, and we shot in Istanbul for a month, and I went back for another few things, and then, I think it's the last year in May.
And did you have a clear idea on what you want?
Yeah, absolutely.
From the movie, so was it an easy editing?
No, it was very difficult editing, actually. I haven't made that many films, but they, as far as I can tell, there's two types. There's ones which are easy to shoot and joyful to shoot and really horrible to edit, and ones which are horrible to shoot and really easy to edit. And this was the former of those. So the shoot was an absolute wonder and a delight. Editing was really difficult. But having said that, I was just coming over here, I was reading my notebook, my sort of journal of the time of making this film. And from the first page, it's almost, it's 90% of what the film ended up being is what I was writing it should be, a year and a half ago, which I think is really unusual for me because I normally just make it all up as I go along.
So at the end of the day, the editing was difficult, but...
Yeah, difficult, but...
But
why I think it's difficult is because with films like this, all you're going for is to create an atmosphere And it's not difficult to create the atmosphere, but it's really difficult to create the atmosphere and sustain interest for 90 minutes. You can create it for 5, 10, 15, 20, exactly. But as soon as you lose it, as soon as people go, oh, you've kind of lost the audience immediately. And so that, trying to keep it up, was really, really, really difficult.
Well, but you made it. I mean, you made it. So don't worry that all that effort was good.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Grand G. Was Angela Cherubi for Fred Film Radio from Venice Days at the Venice Film Festival.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.